rock except our God.
Prepare yourselves. For the next hour, you will experience rock and roll for your soul. Music so intense, you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rocks, here is Pastor Alan Ward.
Hey, welcome to the 46th edition of My Dad Rocks, where we play the best in Christian rock and metal from the 80s and 90s, the golden era of Christian rock. Now, I've prayed for your heart today that it may be prepared for what you're going to hear and that you may get something out of this show that will change your life forever. And we're going to pick up where we started, left off last week, actually. I was playing my favorite songs from the 80s for you. I have favorite Christian rock songs from the 80s. And I played last week more of my moderate rock and roll choices. And today's going to be part two of that. I've got so many of them from that era. But these songs, filled me with hope and courage. And they instructed me in biblical truths. And that encouraged me to take a stand for Jesus Christ and to do what was right. And this music, and all music really, has a very powerful influence on us. And, you know, I hope that the messages that these songs and scriptures I will share will radically life, you know, change you, life-altering things that you will hear today will have an influence on you that will make a difference in your life. Well, we're going to get started today with The Call, and I Still Believe.
like I wanna go home. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe. I still believe. Through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years, for people like us in places like this, we need all the hope.
That was a call with I Still Believe. You know, I like this song because it talks about a person who has a tenacious faith, a faith that keeps on keeping on even when things get tough. And theologically, that's known as the perseverance of the saints. And, you know, those who have truly placed their faith in Christ persevere in that faith until they die or Christ comes back. It's a faith that can't be stamped out no matter what this world or the devil has to throw at it. And that's what he was singing about. You know, through all the tough times, through all the wars, all the things he said, he still believes. It's not a good sign if a person professes a belief in Jesus, but then stops following Christ, stops going to church, stops reading the Bible. You know, there are so many who do that. Jesus spoke about this in a parable that he shared in Luke 8. In verse 11, he said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved." And Jesus gave the picture of a farmer sowing seed, casting out seed on the ground to grow fruit. And these are the people who go to church or someone shares the word of God with them, and they immediately forget it, and they don't really think about it anymore. And the devil takes what little bit was there, and he removes it so they don't believe in Christ. And then Jesus described another kind of person in verse 13 of Luke 8. He said, "On those seed was sown the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away." And these are people who have had a positive response to the word of God in some way. They've heard it, but it's not really a heart response. It's more of an intellectual response. It's a response of the head. And they believe for a little while. They'll, you know, be involved with church and things for a little while. Then they fall away from Christ. They have no real root, no real change in their lives. And then Jesus described another one in verse 14. He said, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard the word. And as they go on their way, they're choked by the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity." And those are people who hear or who know the word of God, rather, but instead of living for God, they sort of are still in love with the world, and they still follow after the things of the world and the cares and concerns, riches and pleasures of this life, and they're drawn away in their hearts from Christ, and they're still basically living for themselves, and therefore they're not truly saved. And in verse 15, Jesus talked about the right kind of response to the word of God. He said, "But the seed that is in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Now, these are people, when they hear the word of God, they receive it with an honest and good heart, sincere heart. They sincerely believe. They forsake those riches and pleasures of this life to follow Christ, and they cling to the word of God. They hold fast to it, and they build their lives upon it, and they glorify God by becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Well, I wonder today, ask yourself the question, which one of those am I? Am I the good soul or some of the others? Well, Carrie Livgren, an AD, sings a song. It was another one of my favorites back in the 80s. It's called "Highway to the Heart."
Highway to the heart.
Hey, Gary Livgren, former songwriter, guitarist, keyboardist for Kansas, became a Christian, left the group Kansas, formed his own band called AD, and that's who he was playing with just then. That song was Highway to the Heart, and he says, make straight the highway of the heart. That was the chorus there. That's from the Bible, and it's specifically what was prophesied about the forerunner of the Messiah, who was John the Baptist, before Jesus came. John quoted this very prophecy when the Pharisees asked him who he was. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said, John 1:23. How did John the Baptist do that? How did he make straight the way of the Lord? Well, we can see, if we look at what John preached, we'll find the answer to that question. The Bible records the message that John proclaimed. It was this, Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John attempted to make straight the way of the Lord by commanding people to repent. And, you know, repentance means to stop the way you are going, to turn around. So stop living for sin and for the world and to turn around and start living for Jesus Christ. You know, it's where you see your sin. You feel the weight of your sin. You feel the guilt. You feel the shame. You feel the punishment that you deserve. You begin to hate that sin and you want with all your heart to turn away from it. That's what repentance is. Has that happened in your life? Well, here's another one of my favorite. Rez Band with their song, When the Love Comes Down.
He said that he had your number. You cut the telephone line. You said you needed a reason. He said there ain't much time. You kept trying to avoid it. He kept knocking on the door. In a flash, it was over. You were a prisoner of war. Comes down. That's when the love comes down.
That's the way it is.
That's when the love comes down. That's when the love comes down.
She was playing a trap, and you was scoping her out. She was so much elastic, someone strung her out.
Until the fire had reached her.
That's when the lights came on.
That's when she got off.
Rez Band, When the Love Comes Down. You know, I was always attracted to that song because of the energy that's in it. And it was, you know, one of the first Christian albums that I owned when I became a Christian. And it's got a great message about the power of Jesus Christ to transform lives. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Jesus Christ can change your life. And, you know, I had a man tell me one time that it was like he went to sleep one night and he woke up a whole different person. That's the way it was for him. And, you know, there's another great message here, too, in this song. They sing, when you lose, you win. That's the way it is with him. And Jesus said something similar to that in Luke 9:23-24, which this song is based upon. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. In other words, if you wish to follow Jesus Christ, you must surrender yourself completely to him. If you try to hold on to your life, if you try to, you know, grab a hold of Jesus and also stay holding on to sin in the world, which is what so many people try to do, you're going to lose your life. That's what Jesus said. If you lose, then you'll win. But if you win, if you try to win, you're going to lose. And that's a scary thing. Jesus told a parable to illustrate this truth over in Luke 14. He said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent out his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look it over. Please consider me excused. And another one said, well, I've, you know, bought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to go try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, well, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master, and the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring them in here, the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, well, master, well, what you've commanded has been done, and there's still room. And he said then to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. You see, these men seemed to have legitimate excuses, but all the master saw was that they thought other things were more important than him. And that's the way God sees it. If we refuse to surrender our lives to Christ and we choose rather to hold on to our sin, we're saying that, you know, our gratification of our sinful desires or the things of the world are more important than God. What an insult. And that's what that song embodies to me. Here's another song by DeGarmo and Key called Radical.